Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Father, we pray you would help us to believe this word, that we are the light of the world. We pray, O God, that we would be unable to be hidden. We ask, O God, that you would so work in us that we would shine before others, that they would see our good works, and they would give glory to you, our Father, who is in heaven. Father, make this a reality in our lives. Father, today, for those who are here in person or online who have not yet come to the light, we pray that today would be the day that they are made the light of the world through the gospel of the Lord Jesus. And Father, those of us who are your lights, we ask that you would fan the flame this morning to cause us to shine more brightly, more faithfully. And so, Holy Spirit, work in us today, we pray. Change us. Make us what you want us to be. Remind us of the gospel. Remind us of who we are in Christ. And we do pray, God, you would make us like Christ. For Jesus' sake, amen. We recently finished the Beatitudes, and Jesus here continues to tell us who we are. We are so blessed. Since we are so blessed by God, we will be different and distinct from the world, and we will exert a godly and salt-like influence on the world. That's what we thought about last week. Today, we continue to hear from Jesus, and he tells us that we are also the light of the world. You remember a few weeks ago, I mentioned a Joel Osteen sermon in which he encouraged his hearers to be very careful about what they say after the phrase, I am, because what follows the I am, he says, follows you. He warns not to speak negative words after the I am, but positive words like, I am strong, I am healthy, I am talented, I am disciplined, I am focused, I am prosperous, I am getting younger, I am attractive. And then I took you to places in the Bible where we see how biblical authors use the phrase, I am, like David, I am poor and needy. John the Baptist, I am not worthy. Paul, I am the very least of all the saints. And I was trying to contrast what Joel Osteen was saying with what the Bible actually teaches follows the I am, seeing that often saints in the Bible humble themselves. I am lowly. I am weak. I can't do anything without you, Lord. I need you. And I was leading our little prayer times on the weeknights at 7 that we do online, and I came across the Psalm 86:2, where David says, preserve my life, for I am godly. And that made me think, I want to be faithful to the Scripture, and have I given a too one-sided view? And so I went through and looked at, again, at all the 1,000 or 2,000 occurrences of I am, and I found about 14 or 15 that are positive like that. Positive I ams. Job, I am blameless. Psalm 73:23, I am continually with you, Asaph said. David, I am godly. The psalmist in Psalm 119:94, I am yours. David in Psalm 139, I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Jeremiah said, I am called by your name, O Lord God of hosts. Paul said in Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Now, what's the difference in those, even in those I am statements, and what Joel Osteen is saying? What's the difference? There is a difference, even though they're positive. These men I just read from the Bible, these men are not saying these I am statements because they believe that they can speak things into existence. They are speaking these things because the things they speak are true according to God's word. You see the difference? There's a big difference. Thinking that my I am statements bring things into existence because they wrongly interpret the Bible, and saying I am what God says I am. There's a big difference. Amen. These men are not saying these I am statements because they believe they can speak things into existence. They are speaking these things because the things they speak are true according to God's word, or commanded according to God's word. And it is true according to God's word that we are the light of the world. It's right to remind yourselves, I am the light of the world. It's good and true and right to remind yourselves of the things that God says about you. And we know they're true because God says them. I am the salt of the earth. I am the light of the world. Be who you are today, Joseph. Be who you are today, saints. And we want to shine brighter and brighter for more and more people to see our light and the light, the Lord Jesus, and give glory to God. And so we see in this passage today that again, Jesus is reminding us of who we are. You are the light of the world. If you are born again Christian who's trusted Christ alone, by faith alone, you know Him, you have a vital and living, genuine, true relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Not that you go to church merely, not that you sometimes read your Bible, or not that you prayed a prayer when you were five but haven't followed Jesus in 20 years. No, if you truly know Him and He truly knows you, you are one of His, you're His child, you are the light of the world. This is a fact. This is the identity of every true believer. That's what Jesus is saying. He's saying emphatically, you and you only are the light of the world. Everybody is not the light of the world. You believers, you true, genuine, born again believers are the light of the world. Since we are poor in spirit, remember the Beatitudes, since we are poor in spirit and mourning over our sin and meek and hungering and thirsting for righteousness, since we are merciful and pure in heart and peacemakers and persecuted, we are different and we will influence the world. We are the salt of the earth. And today Jesus tells us and tells His disciples that we are different and will influence the world because we are the light of the world. We are the light of the world because we are connected to the light of the world. The only reason we are the light of the world is we are connected to Him who is the light of the world above all other lights. Right? John 8:12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Our light that shines is a derivative light. We are like the moon. The moon doesn't shine at night because it has its own light. It reflects the light of the sun. That's how we're the light. We're like the moon reflecting back to the world the light of Jesus, who is the sun, who shines brightly. And of course, we have to know Him to be able to shine like that. Martin Lloyd-Jones preached, the Lord who said you are the light of the world also said I am the light of the world. These two statements must always be taken together, since the Christian is only the light of the world because of his relationship to Him who is Himself the light of the world. Our Lord's claim was that He had come to bring light. His promise is that he that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Here, however, light with respect to life. But He does not stop at that. He also makes us light. You remember how the Apostle Paul put it in Ephesians 5, where he says, for you were sometimes darkness, but now you are the light in the Lord. So not only have we received light, we have been made light. We become transmitters of light. In other words, it is this extraordinary teaching of the mystical union between the believer and his Lord. His nature enters into us so that we become, in a sense, what he himself is. It is essential that we bear in mind both aspects of this matter. As those who believe the gospel, we have received light and knowledge and instruction. But in addition, it has become part of us. It has become our life, so that we thus become reflectors of it. The remarkable thing, therefore, of which we are reminded here is our intimate relationship with him. The Christian is a man or woman who has received and has become a partaker of the divine nature. See 1 Peter. The light that is Christ himself, the light that is ultimately God, is the light that is in the children. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. I am the light of the world. You are the light of the world. The way to understand this is to grasp our Lord's teaching concerning the Holy Spirit in John 14 through 16, where he says, in effect, the result of his coming will be this: my Father and I will take up our abode in you. We will be in you, and you will be in us. God, who is the Father of lights, is the light that is in us. He is in us, and we are in him. And thus it can be said of the Christian, you are the light of the world. These are amazing truths of what God says about believers, that Christ dwells in us, that the Father of lights dwells in us, and because we're united to Christ, who is the light, we are the light of the world. Beloved, be encouraged. If you are in Christ, Christ is in you. And you are the light of the world. Why does the world need light? Because the world is in darkness. Remember what we read in John 3, 19 through 21. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people love the darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. The world is in darkness. I mean, we see it all around us. We see hatred and evil and rebellion and godlessness and murder and lying and cheating and stealing and sexual immorality and lust and pornography. We not only see it out there and on the news, but we see it in our own heart. We see the sins of our own hearts, our own selfishness, our own pride, our own partaking of these kinds of sins, even if it's only in our mind and in our heart. The world is in darkness, and apart from Christ, we are in darkness. This is why God so often describes conversion of someone coming to Christ as coming to the light, like Colossians 1, 13 through 14. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Friend, have you been delivered from the domain of darkness and transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom you can have redemption, the forgiveness of sins? This is the bad news, that the world is in darkness, that you, if you're outside of Christ, you are in darkness, you are in sin. God's wrath abides upon you. He will cast you into hell forever and ever. This is the warning to unbelievers, that God is holy and righteous, and he cannot dwell in darkness because he is light, and he will cast sinners into hell forever. And the Bible makes it clear, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've all sinned against God in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. But the good news of the gospel is God loves to transfer sinners out of darkness into light. And God did this by sending his own Son. God the Father sent his one and only Son, who has always existed. The Son has always existed. There never was a time when the Son was not. And he sent this Son, this everlasting, eternal Son. He sent his Son to earth. And he took on flesh. He became a man and dwelt among us and lived among us. He lived a perfect life. He lived the life we should have lived. He always obeyed and loved and served and was never selfish. He lived the most beautiful life anyone has ever seen or will see. And he was obedient all the way to the point of death, even death on the cross, where he suffered God's judgment that we deserve. He suffered God's judgment on that cross that we deserve. He took the wrath of God, the hell that we deserve. He took that upon himself on the cross. It wasn't just the physical pain he suffered. That wasn't the main pain. That was nothing. The nails, the spear, the mocking, the beating, the spitting, the dying on the cross, that was not the main pain. That was nothing compared to the spiritual pain he endured, suffering the wrath of Almighty God. But he did it. He quenched the flames of hell. He died. He was buried. And on the third day, which we celebrate today, he rose from the dead. He conquered sin, death, and hell. He's alive. Death could not hold him. And now he's calling out for all people everywhere to turn from sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. And when you do that, you're transferred from the domain of darkness into God's marvelous light. You're forgiven of all your sins, past, present, and future. All forgiven, all cast behind God's back. You're justified, you're counted righteous. When you trust in Christ, you can't work for it, you can't earn it. All you can do is throw yourselves at the mercy of God and say, God, be merciful to me, the sinner, and trust in Christ alone. And He'll save you. And friend, if you're online this morning, you're here in the building this morning, if you've not trusted in Jesus, children, if you've not trusted in Christ, believe on Him today. And He will save you. And you will come out of the darkness. And you'll dwell in light. And you will be the light of the world. Why does Jesus describe believers as the light of the world? Again, Jesus is encouraging his disciples. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. This is one of the main ways we as believers are to fight sin. Remember who you are. You're the light of the world, believer. You are, and you only, are the light of the world. Be encouraged. That we are the light of the world points to the vastness of God's love. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. We're the light of the world. He's telling His disciples, He didn't say you are the light of Israel. He didn't say you are the light of Galilee. You are the light of this little region or that little region. He said, you are the light of the world. Matthew is again emphasizing the fact that this gospel is going to the nations, to people from every tribe and tongue and language and nation. You are the light of the whole world. Isaiah 49:6, God told His people, I will make you as a light for the nations, that my salvation may reach to the end of the earth. We are the lights of the world, believers. What does it mean that we are the light of the world? Light allows you to see. Light, very simply put, allows you to see. If you're in a dark room, you can't see anything. You flip the light switch, you can see. You can see the way. You can see what's really there. God gave light to His people at night. Nehemiah 9:12 says, by a pillar of cloud you led them in the day, and by a pillar of fire in the night, to light for them the way in which they should go. Believers, you are the light of the world. You show people what's really there. What's real, what's reality. People are walking in darkness all around us, thinking that sports is reality. The Flyers, the Eagles. Finally, my reality starts next Sunday. That's reality to so many people. That's their God. That's all they know to bring them joy. Toys are reality. Entertainment is reality. My job is reality. How I earn money. Money is reality. Sex is reality. My own selfish pleasures, that's reality. And God has sent you into the world, believer. You're the light of the world, to flip the light switch on and say, no, God is reality. God's truth is reality. God's word is reality. God is joy. God is pleasure. You're to shine the light on the truth of God and show people what's really there. Light represents truth. Light represents truth in the Bible. Psalm 43, verse 3. Send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your dwelling. Or 2 Corinthians 4, 6. For God who said, let light shine out of darkness. He's going all the way back to creation. Let there be light. Has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Just as God said, let there be light, and there was light, so in any new believer, God says, let there be light, and shows them the glory of God in the face of Jesus so that they believe. Light represents truth. You are the light of the world. You are to point people to the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Not Buddha. Not Confucius, not Muhammad, not Allah. Only Jesus. Only Jesus saves. And you are the light of the world to point people to this truth. To point people to the truth. To help them see error and false teaching. False doctrine. You're to help people follow true doctrine. False doctrine hurts people. False doctrine kills people. False doctrine leads people to hell. Paul told Timothy, watch your life and doctrine closely. For in so doing, you save both yourself and those who hear you. You are the lights of the world, beloved. Point people to the truth. Light represents justice. Light represents justice. 2 Samuel 23, 3 through 4. The God of Israel has spoken. The Rock of Israel has said to me, when one rules justly over men, ruling in the fear of God, he dawns on them like the morning light. When we have rulers who rule justly, God describes them as the dawning of the rising sun. Shining light. Doing what's right. Doing what's just. And holy and good and righteous in God's sight. Beloved, you are the light of the world. You seek justice wherever there is injustice. You do what's right and seek to make what's wrong right. You do what's right when no one's watching because you are the light of the world. Even if no one knows about what you're doing, you know God knows. And so you do what's right. You have integrity. Because you care more about that audience of one, the Lord Jesus, than anyone else. And so you do what's right. You pay your taxes. You honor your employer. And work hard at your job. Light represents God. Light represents God. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? 1 John 1:5, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. Beloved, you are the light of the world. You represent God in the world. Did you know that? You bear God's name. People are to be able to look at us and say, that's what God is like. The way that she lives, the way that he lives, that's what God is like. You represent God on earth. You are the light of the world. You bear his name and live for his glory. Lloyd-Jones preached this. He is like the man in the Beatitudes, so he reacts differently. And when confronted with world events, with wars and rumors of wars, with calamities, pestilences, and all these other things, he is not over anxious. He is not troubled. He is not irritable. The world is. The Christian is not. He is essentially different. You are the light of the world. Light represents life and salvation. Psalm 56:13, "For you have delivered my soul from death, yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life." Acts 26:17-18. Paul is told what God is sending him to do, what Jesus is sending him to do. "I'm sending you to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins." Light represents salvation. Jesus Christ commissioned the Apostle Paul to go to the Gentiles and open their eyes. Well, Pastor, we can't open anybody's eyes. Only God can do that. I'm sorry, I'm going to quote Scripture. God says that. God says we open people's eyes too. If your theology can't handle that, you need a new theology. It's called God's sovereignty. Yes, He's the only one who opens eyes. And man's responsibility. We're to go open eyes. We are to go and open eyes. And when we do that, it leads people from darkness to light. 1 Peter 2:9, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." Beloved, you are the light of the world. You tell people how they can be saved. If you don't do it, who's going to do it? Who's going to do it? Do you remember when you first got saved and you couldn't shut up about Him? I never want to leave that. I remember when I first got saved in high school, I was putting these things on every car in the high school parking lot. "Oh, that's just young, immature, evangelistic zeal. He'll grow up and mature." I don't want to mature if that means stop doing that. Want to be crazy talking about Jesus all my life when I'm 80 years old, like Loretta Hughes, over 90, burdened for people in her retirement home, putting out books about coronavirus that people will get saved. I want to be like Loretta Hughes till I'm dead, being a fanatic telling everybody about somebody who can save anybody, right? As the old jazz song says, "You are the light of the world. You tell people how they can be saved. And then you help them grow in Christ's likeness, helping one another in the church, sacrificing your personal time to meet with other believers in the body to help them grow in Christ. To encourage a young lady, Mina, who started college this week and is discouraged at times because it's hard. Ladies, we got to get her. We got to step in and get her and love her and be there for her. Two young college students, Keslan and Christine, hungry for the Word of God. We've got to get them. There are people hungering for the Word. People struggling with pornography that need, not them, but other people struggling with pornography that need our encouragement. This is what we are. This is what we're to do. We're the light of the world. This is who we are. Helping people grow in Christ. Light represents the revelation of sin. Light represents the revelation of sin. Psalm 90, verse 8, "You have set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence." Light shows where sin is present. Ephesians 5, 11 through 14, "Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. Expose them. Light exposes sin. If you think the Christian life is nice and lovely and sentimental and never brings up sin, you don't know what light is. Jesus says, "Bring, where's your husband? Where's your husband?" "I don't have a husband." That's right, you don't have a husband. And the five men you've been sleeping with before are not your husband. Jesus didn't shy away from this because he loved people. He loved people enough to talk about their sin. And friend, if you think Christianity is just everybody's okay, oh, nice, nice people, be nice, everybody be nice, then you don't know Jesus. You don't know what it means to be the light of the world. Light exposes sin. Light exposes sin. Take no part, Ephesians 5, 11 through 14, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore it says, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." When God brings our sin to the light, there's hope for healing. Yes, it can be embarrassing. Yes, it can feel shameful. But the church is supposed to be a place where we can go to one another and openly confess our sins and our struggles and our needs and be loved. Be loved and cared for and shown the right way. And yes, if people do refuse to repent of sin, then we must take measures like Jesus, our great King and Commander, said in Matthew 18 to confront with one or two and tell to the church. And then if they don't listen to the church, remove them from the membership because we love them and because that's the way Jesus Christ has ordained to help people see their sin and bring them back to Him. That's loving. It's loving to be light like that. It's loving. You are the light of the world. You are to humbly and lovingly point out sin in one another's lives, including my life. Pastor, when you did this or that in front of that person, that wasn't a good witness for Jesus. You're right. And I'm sorry, and I'm going to go apologize and ask for their forgiveness. Light exposes sin. We're all still sinners. We're all still going to be sinners until Jesus comes back. We need each other to be lights, to point out sin and to help one another come back to Christ and be obedient to Jesus Christ. Light represents majestic, breathtaking glory and beauty. Psalm 104, 1 through 2. "O Lord my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty, covering yourself with light as with a garment." I love that description. It's God's beauty and glory and majesty. And it's like He's covered with light as a garment. Do you remember another time where God is covered with light as a garment? Starts with a T and rhymes with figuration. When Jesus was transfigured, Jesus is God, the God-man, right? Matthew 17, 2, He was transfigured before them and His face shone like the sun and His clothes became white as light. Beautiful, glorious God, majestic in beauty. There's no one like Him. You are the light of the world. Your lives are to display the excellence and beauty of Jesus Christ and show that He is your great joy and treasure, far surpassing any other love and joy in your lives. Your life, you are the light of the world. You're to display the beauty of God in the way that you live. Light represents what is good and joyful in the presence of God. Psalm 89:15, "Blessed are the people who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your face." Psalm 97:11, "Light is sown for the righteous and joy for the upright in heart." Psalm 112:4, "Light dawns in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious, merciful, and righteous." Ecclesiastes 11:7, "Light is sweet, and it is pleasant for the eyes to see the sun." You are the light of the world. You live the good, joyful life in God, such that people ask, why are you so different? Why are you so different? Light represents God's word. Light represents God's word. Psalm 119, 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Psalm 119, 130, the unfolding of your words gives light. It imparts understanding to the simple. You are the light of the world. You study and know God's life-giving word. You study and know God's life-giving word. And you not only hear the word, but do the word. And you take the word to the world. That's what you do. If you're a believer, that's just who you are. You won't be able to contain your excitement and joy in the Word of God. And if you're here this morning and all of these characteristics of light, you have no idea what I'm talking about, you may need to be born again, right? Because this is who you are. This is just who Christians are. We are the light of the world. We take the Word of God to the world. And the last one I have is light represents the new heavens and the new earth. Spoken of in Isaiah 60, verses 18 through 20. Violence shall no more be heard in your land. Devastation or destruction within your borders. You shall call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun shall be no more your light by day, nor for brightness shall the moon give you light. But the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Your sun shall no more go down, nor your moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of mourning shall be ended. No more mourning, no more crying, no more tears. This is picked up in Revelation 21, 23 through 24. And the city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb, but its light by its light will the nations walk. You are the light of the world. You hope in the joys of this new world, and you want to take as many people with you there as you can. You're the light of the world. You have this hope. Because we have this hope, because we know as believers that the best is always yet to come, no matter what we're suffering, no matter how hard the days of our lives are in this life, we have this unshakable hope that someday, very soon, soon and very soon, we're going to see the King. And it is going to be glorious on that day when we see His face and hear Him say those glorious words, "Enter into the joy of your Master. Well done, good and faithful servant." We have that hope. We have that hope, and that hope energizes. That hope energizes to live for the Lord and honor Him. It's like when we would wrestle, and I used to wrestle in high school, and the match was close, and you know, it was a tie match. You're tied 4-4, and you're standing, and you got to get that takedown to win by 1 point or 2 points. And there's 15 seconds left. And all your teammates and your coach, short time, short time, short time, short time. And you knew short time means you got to go now. You got to go now. You got to move now. And it energizes you. There's this bolt of energy that goes and you shoot and you score. The Bible begins the New Testament with, these are the last days. Short time. Short time. Short time, believer. Short time until everlasting glory. That ought to energize us to work and labor. It reminds me of the phrase, sleep. That's what heaven's for. I'm not saying you shouldn't get sleep. The Lord gives sleep to those He loves. That's a great verse. He gives sleep to those He loves. One of the pastors that I listened to this week on this passage said, talking about light and lamps, in Jesus' time, when it got dark, you went to bed. When it's dark, you went to bed. The lamps they had weren't that good, not even good enough to read. So when it got dark, you went to bed. When it got light, you got up. That's some good sleep. But we labor. Short time. We labor for the Lord. We work for Him. You are the light of the world. The last point today is this. You cannot and must not be hidden, all for the glory of God. You cannot and must not be hidden, all for the glory of God. Look again at Matthew 5:14-16. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. Notice these verses. You're also compared to a city that's set on a hill. It can't be hidden. Cities full of lights, and it's on a hill up high. It can't be hidden. There's no way to hide this. You can't be hidden. You are the light of the world. You're like a city on a hill. You can't be hidden. In other words, if you're really a believer, you're going to shine. There's just no other option. You're going to be different. You're going to have an influence. You're going to shine, and you're not going to be able to be hidden. People don't light a lamp and put it under a basket. You know the hymn, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine, hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine, hide it under a bushel. No! I'm going to let it shine. Don't let Satan it out, right? I'm going to let it shine. That's what Jesus is calling us to do. Someone put that in a nice song for children, to let their light shine. Put it on a stand. It gives light to all in the house. We're to be on a stand and show the world Christ. I'm always suspicious of people who say, yeah, I'm a Christian, but I'm a private Christian. My religion is personal. I don't want to talk about it. I mean, maybe this is wrong, but then I wonder, I'm not sure if they know Him. I'm not sure if people who talk like that know Him. Because the passage is like this. You can't be hidden. It can't be personal. It's got to go public. If it's real, if it's genuine. And notice, Jesus does say, you are the light of the world, but He also says, let your light shine. And so as I've been trying to preach these beatitudes and characteristics of a believer, we're being told what we are, and we're also being encouraged, be more. You are the salt, be more salty. You're the light, shine brighter. Let your light shine before others. Let your light shine before others. You're supposed to let your light shine before others. Now, later on in the Sermon on the Mount, He's going to talk about doing your deeds before others to be seen by them, right? We're not to do it that way. We're to do it not to be seen by others, but because Jesus commands it and for the glory of God. Let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. What is this doing good works, letting your light shine? It's striving after righteousness. We're going to be studying it all through the Sermon on the Mount and seeing the good works that Jesus commands us to do. It's striving after righteousness. It's fighting sin. It's saying no to sin and yes to holiness, to be like Christ, to grow in humility and love and faithfulness and patience. It's fighting sin and living a righteous life. It's doing good works in all that I've already said, all those ways that the Bible describes light. It's living that out. It's working for God in your job or whatever your calling is. Whatever God has called you to do as a vocation or a calling, to do that for the glory of God in the strength that He provides. To lay bricks, to let your light shine before others by the way that you do your job as a mason, as a bricklayer. Right? I see the garbage collectors come to pick up trash for the glory of God, and let your light shine by the way that you do your job. To do your job as a doctor, as a nurse, whatever God has called you to do, a mother, to do that, realizing it is a sacred calling and you do it for His glory. That people might see your good works and give glory to their Father in heaven. It's helping the poor. It's helping the poor. Listen to the way Isaiah describes caring for the poor. Isaiah 58, 6 through 11. Is not this the fast that I choose, to loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the straps of the yoke, to let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke? Is it not to share your bread with the hungry and bring the homeless poor into your house? When you see the naked, to cover him and not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Then shall your light break forth like the dawn, and your healing shall spring up speedily. Your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and He will say, "Here I am." If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom as the noonday, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong, and you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. We're to love people who are in need and help the needy. Doing good works is sharing the gospel. Letting your light shine is sharing the gospel. This is the way Jesus is described as sharing the gospel, is proclaiming light. In Acts 26, 23, the Christ must suffer, and that by being the first to rise from the dead, He would proclaim light both to our people and to the Gentiles. Preaching the gospel is proclaiming light. This is how Paul and Barnabas described what God had called them to do in Acts 13, 46 through 47. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, and quoting God, they said, "I have made you," God has made them, "I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth." We're the lights of the world. We share the gospel. The people... Sort of in a summary of all of this, you know, that you can't be hidden, you must not be hidden. Do people know you're a Christian? Do people in your circles, at your job, that you interact with, your mailman, do they know you're a Christian? Or do you keep it under a bushel? Do people know you're a Christian? Parents, do your children know what you're most passionate about? If you ask little Johnny, "What's Daddy and Mommy, what are they most passionate about?" Would their answer be Jesus? Because you shine your light to your kids. Do people know you're a Christian? Or do you keep it a secret? What is the grand motive of all this? So that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father. That's the grand purpose of all this, is for the glory of God. We could do a whole series of sermons on God's greatest passion, which is His own glory. Did you know that? God's greatest passion is not you or me. It's His own glory. God, first and foremost, does everything for His own glory. If you want to know more about that, join our studies on Wednesday afternoons as we read through Desiring God. Or if that sounds weird to you, that God does everything for His own glory, that God loves Himself more than He loves you, if that sounds weird to you, that God loves Himself more than He loves you, ask me about it in the Q&A. Write me an email. I'll send you great stuff to read. I don't have time to go into detail on that. But God is God-centered. And He does everything, first and foremost, for His own glory and praise. And that's the point of us letting our light shine, that others may see our good deeds and give glory to God. to give glory to God. And notice how it's stated, to give glory to your Father who is in heaven. This is the first place in the Gospel of Matthew that Jesus calls God the Father of his disciples. This is another great I am statement. I am a child of God. I am a child of God. I can call God my Father, my Abba Father. Beloved, do you know the joy of being a child of God? That you can call God your Father. This is an amazing privilege. And we shine our lights before others that they may see our good deeds and give glory to our Father who is in heaven. And of course, we do this. We do these good deeds all the while looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who said, I am the light of the world. And He, the light of the world, made all of this possible that we could even do good works that urge people to give glory to our Father in heaven. Jesus made all this possible because the light of the world suffered in darkness. You remember that? You remember the light of the world? No brighter light has ever shone or will ever shine, and there He is on the cross, and darkness fell over the face of the earth, showing that God is bringing judgment on His own Son. The light of the world was covered in darkness on that cross so that we might enjoy everlasting light. And He rose from the dead for our justification, that we might have light. Jesus is the world's eternal light. He can't be hidden out of sight. He loved and preached and did what's right. He died and bore God's wrathful smite, was crushed under His cursing might, then rose and conquered death's dark night. The sun has risen, shining bright. Now no more condemnation fright. By faith in Him, we are the light. We shine for Him in the world's sight. In Him we find our chief delight. Our good works others shall ignite to give God glory. Hearts unite. Father, we pray that this would be the case in our lives. We pray that our good works would ignite in others a desire to give You glory, and hearts would unite around the glory of God. Father, we pray that we would know this truth, that we would know our identity, that we are the light of the world. We would know that, believe that. And Father, we do ask that You would cause us, work in us by Your Spirit to move us, to let our light shine before others, that they might see our good works and give glory to You, our Father who is in heaven. God, do that in us, we pray. Help us at Olney Baptist Church to grow in giving light wherever we are. And Father, we do pray, if anyone is here online or in the building this morning who has never come to the light of the Lord Jesus Christ, that today they would believe on Him and be saved. God, use us this week. Use us to go out and shine our light. And we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.